Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
And the great link is it was the blood of the Lamb that saved the Jewish people. And in Christianity, it was the blood of the Lamb of God that saves all of us.
It doesn't mean that you don't do everything possible to try to fulfill your obligations, but it does not include sacrificing the woman's right to make decisions.
Of course, at the very end, she says, but that doesn't mean that the fetus is not something that the woman can destroy for her own interest, which means that it is both priceless and worthless at the same time.
The culture in which we live in, it has replaced religion with sport.
Pro Football Hall of Fame wives, love issues, etc.
What does the church do when there's important work to be done? There's all sorts of important work to be done in the church, in the flock of God, and the called shepherd, the pastor, perhaps, and this happens more often than we'd like to admit, may be tempted to be distracted away from the thing he's been called to do, the way he's been called to serve his people, in order to take care of those very important things that need to be done in a Christian congregation. It happens all the time, but there is a solution. There has been a solution. The church has actually been dealing with this issue from the time of the apostles. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the vocation of deaconess here in the next half hour of the program on this Monday afternoon. Deaconess Rose Adel will join us. When we're done with our conversation with Rose, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. He's a regular guest and joins us as often as he can for our series, Top Three Verses. We're going to talk about the top three verses regarding the promise of prayer. Joining us to talk about the vocation of deaconess, Deaconess Rose Adel. She's a pastor's wife and mother of four children. She teaches online deaconess courses for Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. She's co-author of the book, Ladylike, Living Biblically. Rose, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
How do you respond to someone who says this deaconess thing is really just a way of kind of appeasing those who are waiting for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to finally ordain women to the pastoral ministry? So we're giving them a place to kind of hang out until our church catches up with the culture and ordains women.
Well, I'm glad you've asked me how I would respond, because I have actually been able to respond to this question several times. And there are a couple of different directions where the misunderstanding occurs. The first is what you're describing, Pastor, in saying that perhaps this deaconess thing is actually a stepping stone. And maybe it's a time in our synod where women are looking for meaningful work in the church, but that our doctrine has not yet reflected the goal, the agenda of our culture in equalizing males and females. So maybe right now this deaconess thing is, as you described, just this little stone that we sit on for a while until we can move on to what women perhaps really want, which is the ordination. And to this first misunderstanding, I would respond that I think one of the most valuable ways the church can understand the office of deaconess better is by getting to know a deaconess. And what you will hear consistently in deaconesses, and I know many, is that there is not some secret hidden agenda that we have, that we're actually wishing we could be pastors, but since we can't, we'll accept this. What we're actually doing is we are serving gladly in a place in our church that is appropriate for women and that is helpful to the church. And it's also completely distinct from the office of the pastor. And I could talk more about that as well. But the other direction of misunderstanding. So first is this stepping stone situation. The other direction where it's misunderstood is it's viewed as a consolation prize. So some might say, you know, in the Missouri Synod, we're never going to ordain women. It isn't going to happen. But look at all of these eager women who want some important role, and let's give them all a pat on the head by handing them something they can do to keep them busy or to keep them quiet, but to keep them out of the office of the ministry. And this, too, is another misunderstanding, and it's one that really does not serve us well in the church, because both directions of misunderstanding fail to see who a deaconess really is and what she has to offer. And since I am so convinced that what a deaconess does and who she is and what she offers is valuable, I am always eager to speak in such a way as to encourage people to consider becoming a deaconess, or simply to appreciate what a deaconess can do and how a deaconess can serve.
So let's talk about the biblical roots or the biblical examples upon which we have kind of taken the bold step of saying, let's consecrate women who are properly trained and ready for service to the office of deaconess. Where do we go to the Bible?
So the church has a wonderful freedom in this. We see in Scripture, first of all, that the office of the holy ministry, that which is occupied by ordained pastors, is commanded in a very particular and narrow sense. And it is to be occupied by men. And we see this throughout Scripture. And so we know that this is non-negotiable. The church must have pastors to see to the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments. And that is their work. That is their very important work. This is what they pledge themselves to in their ordination vows. And so this is not something that one day the church could decide, you know, maybe pastors yes, maybe pastors no. Let's see how it works out. That's not correct. The church will always need pastors. Beyond that, we see that for the sake of good order, which is something that's valued in our Lutheran doctrine, and for the sake of organization, and for the sake of seeing to a lot of practical matters, the church has a lot of freedom in determining how those things will be carried out and who will do that work. And so an example, if you're looking for a scriptural example of an occasion when this happened, one of the easiest places to go to would be in the book of Acts. And something that's important to remember about the book of Acts is it doesn't prescribe how the church must always look, right? So the church today will look different in many ways, in cosmetic ways. What will not change would be those true marks, right? The preaching of the word and the right administration of the sacraments. But there are other cosmetic things that will change from time to time. And one of the needs we see in the book of Acts was that this is recorded in Acts 6. I'll read a section for you here. It says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution." So here we see the problem, right? So they are widows and they were to receive care from the church, and they weren't. It says they were being neglected. "So the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty.'" So what we see here is this, again, emphasis on the word freedom. They could have resolved this issue in any number of ways. But what they decided to do was to appoint some people to take care of the widows who were being neglected. And they did this so that the widows would be cared for. And they did it in a really important way, such that the preaching of the word would not be neglected, in an effort to compensate for this other neglecting that was going on. So there was a recognition the pastors, the preachers, needed to be focused. But this distraction of people who weren't being cared for also needed to be addressed. And it had to be addressed in a thoughtful and serious way, which is why they looked at the situation as closely as they did. So now today in our church, and this is why I say that a deaconess is in no way vying for the position of pastor. The deaconess isn't trying to make up for whatever the pastor can't do. The deaconess is there to recognize that what the pastor does is absolutely essential to the life of the church. And she can serve in ways that frees him for that, so that he would not neglect the preaching of the word, so that he would not neglect the administering of the sacraments to tend to other concerns and cares in the congregation and also in the community. So the deaconess is the one who says, "I'm not here to pick up the slack of the pastor. I am actually here to pick up the slack of the church, the body of believers." Another scripture passage that is helpful is from Ephesians. And it talks about Christ is the head and the church is the body. And so Christ is the one directing the activity of the body. And the pastor, we hear this every Sunday, right? The pastor stands in the stead and by the command of Christ. So that absolutely has to be there. Now, how the rest of the body is moving and taking care of others is left to Christian freedom. And something we've done in the Missouri Synod is seeing how well women can be prepared to act on behalf of the body in caring for others.
So you've really outlined there just the beautiful relationship between the office of the pastor, which is Christ's office, and the office of the deaconess, which is kind of the office, the churchly office there.
Exactly.
They're not in competition.
Mm-hmm.
They will overlap in terms of, you know, doing certain things and kind of practical day-to-day things. But in effect, the deaconess is there to take up the slack so the pastor is not pulled away from the thing he's called to do, the mm-hmm. things he is called to do.
That's
is that a good
exactly
way of putting
right. it? Yep, that's a very good way of putting it. And one thing I appreciate about women as deaconess, as a deaconess in particular, that it's occupied by women, is that we hear the church being described as the bride of Christ. So if there is someone who is acting to represent the bride of Christ in caring for the children, whether they are the members of the congregation or the people in the surrounding community, how appropriate that it would be a woman to act on behalf of the bride.
It sounds like really what's happened here is we have formalized what was happening in a very informal way in the mm-hmm. church all along,
right.
in some ways. You know, we have formalized into a called and a consecrated office, something that had been done by people just out of necessity for millennia.
Exactly. So diaconia, which is to say service, is actually something that all of the baptized are called to. So all of us in our baptisms are, first of all, called God's children, we're redeemed. And then this also has something to do with how we live our lives. And Christ has called all of us to love as he has loved. So this isn't something that only narrowly and exclusively applies to a deaconess. Really, every believer is called to love one another. Every believer is called to care. But a deaconess is one who is prepared for this in a really special way. A deaconess is one who has studied scripture through her deaconess studies, whichever program she attends, and she is prepared for it at a level that goes a bit beyond what another believer might have in terms of preparation. She is also someone who encourages all of the baptized, every believer, to participate in this life of mercy. So a deaconess doesn't do all of these things as a substitute for everyone in the church doing them. She does it as an icon, as a model for the church, and also as a motivator to say, hey, let's not forget that we as the body of Christ are called to action. So we receive his gifts. We receive the word. We receive the Lord's Supper. Way back when, we've received holy baptism. And what does this mean for how we live our lives? And a deaconess is one who can encourage people to live as servants of the Lord.
Deaconess Rose Abel is our guest. We're talking about the vocation of deaconess on this Monday afternoon, April the 18th. When we come back, the specific work that deaconesses may find themselves doing in the life of the church.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
You can support the boys' basketball program at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, by entering a team into our annual golf scramble fundraiser. It's Saturday, May 28th at Oakbrook Golf Course in Edwardsville. Hi, this is Anthony Smith, head boys' basketball coach at Metro East Lutheran High School. Join me and fellow Knights for a golf scramble, May 28th at Oakbrook Golf Course. For more information, send me an email, anthony.smith@melhs.org. Thanks for your support.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ, and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the vocation of deaconess with Deaconess Rose Adel, pastor's wife and mother of four children. She teaches online deaconess courses for Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. In about 10 minutes, we will start our series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, the Top 3 Verses series. We're going to talk about the promise of prayer. Deaconess Adel, let's get specific. You spoke before the break about meaningful work. So what specific kind of work would a deaconess find herself doing in a Christian congregation?
One of the neat things about being a deaconess is that it has a lot of different forms. So I wouldn't say narrowly every deaconess looks this way. Rather, I would say here are a whole lot of things that deaconesses can do. But ultimately, it is all wrapped up first in who she is as a servant, as one who is prepared, as one who has studied Scripture. But in terms of the actual embodiment of all of this, in terms of the actual putting into action, some of the most common things that deaconesses would do fall into a couple of different categories. One is human care, and that would involve making visits. That's a large component of what a deaconess may do in a congregation. So she may make visits to people who are hospitalized or homebound or in some other way in need of care. A large part of what she does on these visits is to listen. So something that the seminary in Fort Wayne, that our director is Dr. Buescher, and he likes to talk about pastors as the mouthpieces of God, as the ones proclaiming God's word and proclaiming the gospel. And he likes to talk about deaconesses as the ears of God, who are there to sit and listen to someone and hear what is going on in their lives. And something we always see throughout Scripture is that when people call out to God, pour out their complaints to God, the Lord responds in mercy. The Lord responds with love and compassion. So a deaconess hears and a deaconess responds. And that's a large part of what she does. But deaconesses, in addition to serving in a congregation where they may be involved in visitation, they also may be involved in teaching. So they may be involved in teaching Sunday school, vacation Bible school, women's studies, things of this sort. And any other thing that you might classify perhaps as hospitality, ways that the church cares for people, ways that the church feeds people, that's a really basic thing, but it really helps a lot of congregations to have someone who says, yes, I'm going to make sure this funeral luncheon happens. I'm going to organize it. I'm going to encourage others to participate in it, or this Advent meal, or whatever it may be. So those are some different characteristics of a deaconess in a congregation, although certainly not exhaustive. But deaconesses also serve in other areas. So some may serve in prisons. Some may serve in hospitals. Some may serve in care facilities for the aging or the otherwise abled. And there are a lot of different ways they can serve. Another large field for deaconesses, and it's growing, is the international mission field. So right now the LCMS is calling and sending many missionaries, and a lot of those positions are filled by deaconesses who come alongside the work of the church in different countries and carry out acts of mercy as an arm, an important extension of the life of the church in those places.
And one other thing I would like you to mention is, I know of the cases where, especially where they have the kind of skill set, deaconesses serve in not just in the classroom teaching, they're administrative too.
Yes.
They can be headmistress, they can be principal, all those kind of things.
Yeah, this is the great thing about being a deaconess, and you just hit it there so well. So a deaconess has a lot of different areas in her life where she's qualified, different things she's done, even before being a deaconess perhaps, or alongside being a deaconess, that qualify her and equip her for so many different ways of serving. And that's what I think is one of the best things about considering being a deaconess is how broad it is. It is not something that I would say only applies to a very narrow segment. People, whatever gifts they have, whatever aptitudes God has given them, whatever interests they have, they can roll that all into a really helpful version of a deaconess.
How did we get here? Can you give us a brief history of kind of the deaconess program in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Sure. So there, if you look back to the early church, you would see that women had some really important roles in the early church. And those roles had to do with especially visiting women in their homes. If there were women at that time who were married to unbelievers, and perhaps there were some propriety issues to take into consideration that the church acknowledged. Also in the baptism of adult female catechumens was another important role for women at that time. But as time went on, and this is what we've talked about in terms of the freedom of the church and recognizing where there are gaps and how those gaps can be filled, there was a lull for some time. And then years later, there were some pastors who saw, again, this gap, right? And said, you know what? There are some needs in the church that aren't being met that could be really appropriately and helpfully met by women. And so some of the pastors who were instrumental in the resurgence of deaconesses would be Reverend Fleedner, Reverend Leah. And these pastors recognized our church could use deaconesses, and this could be a wonderful thing. And so we see this renewed interest in how deaconesses could serve and support the church. And in the United States, most recently, I think, has been a wonderful boom. So we see there are deaconesses now studying in three different places within the Missouri Synod and being able to be sent out in all kinds of different directions. And so the Missouri Synod at this time, you'll still meet people who say, I've never heard of a deaconess. What's a deaconess? But you are going to see, if you look for that word, if you look for it in our synod publications, if you look for it on our roster, if you look for it in different institutions and parishes, you're going to see it a lot more now than you did. Even I would say, I started deaconess studies in 2003, and even then, which was not so very long ago, so 13 years ago, there was a lot less recognition and understanding than there is today. And we're seeing that the church is saying, this is a wonderful thing. People are being cared for. People are being served. And this is a great thing in the life of the church, again, to motivate all believers to participate in this important work of carrying Christ's mercy to those in need.
Two final questions for you. One has to do with kind of the road to get there. You talked about deaconess studies.
Mm-hmm.
What do the actual studies involve?
Well, that can look different for different people. I would be most eager to talk about the program I'm involved in, but there are others as well. So I am involved in an online distance deaconess program that is operated through Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And this has given a great opportunity to women who are not able to relocate for the sake of a residential program. So previously, if you wanted to be a deaconess, you would have had to move to one of the three places where deaconesses were being taught and formed. Now, for women who are already, and this is a great opportunity for people who are already serving actively and established somewhere, whether they are teachers or nurses or any other number of things that a woman could be doing and also involved in Christian care, she can be enrolled in the program and study right where she is, continue serving right where she is without missing a step, but have under her feet a stronger, more solid foundation for what she's already doing. And so these distance classes are carried out online, but then students in the distance program also have the opportunity, and they love it. It's a requirement, but they look at it more as a fun thing to do, to study on campus a couple of different times during the year. So some of their studies are carried out on campus, which is a great time to be a part of that community at the seminary. But then they're sent right back to where they are, either in their families, in their places of work, in their congregations, and continue to serve as they study. So there's a concurrence to it, which is really rich for the women in this program. And that's the one that I'm a part of. And I have seen, through teaching online classes, I have truly been surprised to see how much that sense of community is present and how much growth and care there is among the women in the program. It is an excellent program.
What kind of woman should consider this? I've seen deaconesses come in all shapes and sizes and ages mm-hmm. as well. What kind of women should consider it?
I would encourage any Christian woman who has been involved in some aspect of care in the church and some level of involvement to consider it. And there will be, of course, in all things, there are practical things to consider. So maybe for some women, it wouldn't be a good time because of their focus on their vocations in the home. That might be a consideration. And of course, we would always encourage women to look closely at that. And there might be other practical considerations that would prevent a person. But for the most part, if you are a Lutheran woman, if you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and you're someone who is always eager to attend service on the weekends, to receive God's gifts there, to attend Bible class and to be taught the faith by a godly pastor, if you're someone who fits into that category, and if you're someone who has the desire to use those gifts, to use what you have received to care for others, you would make a great candidate.
You can find out more about the Deaconess Program at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Deaconess Rose Adel is a pastor's wife and mother of four children. She teaches online deaconess courses for Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And she's co-author of the book, Ladylike, Living Biblically. Deaconess, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us. We'll do our series with him, Top Three Verses. We'll talk about the promise of prayer. Stay tuned.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc., Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $100 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, Etc. Write Scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Lord, help us ever to retain the catechism's doctrine plain.
What makes a church unique? Perhaps we should ask what makes a church faithful. Calvary Lutheran Church of Elgin, Illinois continually learns Christ's doctrine, simply explained in the small catechism. This doctrine teaches us Christ crucified, who even today comes and serves his baptized children in word and sacrament to forgive, strengthen, and teach us for daily life. This, Christ's own work among us, makes and keeps Calvary Lutheran Church faithful. Visit us at clce.org.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What would you say if someone asked you to explain the Trinity? Would you begin with Scripture, the creeds, or some clever analogy? And how are Christ and the gospel at the center of this fundamental Christian teaching? Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Beckwith has written a new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series. It's titled The Holy Trinity. You can save $5 by pre-ordering The Holy Trinity at logia.org, L-O-G-I-A.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.